Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Today is Monday, March 27th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 69, the fourth paragraph. Bottom of that page that begins with, God alone can judge our sex situation, and ends with, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. We are reading one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Lois P., who will be reading the text, Eileen M., reading page 164, and Reggie O. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference ID number for yesterday, Sunday, March 26th, 2023, which is the Sunday special edition, is 20,088 or 20088. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,089 or 20089. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered in the state of Minnesota. Here are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service and have a blessed day. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie B. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Stephanie, for your service today and welcome to everybody, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Sorry about that. I have an ambulance in the background here. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I want to thank Leah for the service for this month, and have a good meeting. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne. I appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass. And then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So please make sure to hit that star 1 to remute. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 69, bottom paragraph, fourth paragraph, begins with, God alone can judge our sex situation, and it ends with, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. We are reading one paragraph only this morning, and I will now ask Lois P. to get us started and begin reading.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. So the craving for intimacy, the craving for contact, for a sense of wholeness, a sense of belonging, I think is the undercurrent. Was the drive. And that drive is something that God understands, I believe, as a search for union with something greater than myself. And I looked for it in other people. And I thought filling up or giving myself or participating with someone else in a very intimate and ultimately a very sacred act, because we really give ourselves fully, in a sense, to another, is a longing for God. And so many years, so many times, I have searched for that completion, that sense of union, whether it was food or drugs or men or jobs or money or any of that, to me is that same urge. And talking to other people about it is fine, but what this paragraph reassures me of is that only God understands what I was really searching for. And that sense of, it's a craving, you know, that craving that I tried to fill up with all those other things. It's really a craving for intimacy, that true intimacy where my heart and my being is joined with the great, in my words, beloved, with God. That's what the search for me always was truly about, now that I see this. I didn't know it at the time. So, again, higher power, God, that supreme intelligence, that guiding force is the one that I think all my life I searched for union with, and perhaps many of you might identify with. And yes, we have this physical body, and we live in this third dimension, but ultimately, as the big book promises, we are to live in the fourth dimension. And in that dimension, there is complete union. There is that total satisfaction that we've been yearning for, or at least I was yearning for, most of my life. So again, only God and myself can forgive, to understand, and to also support all the ways that I looked in the wrong ways for that ultimate intimacy with the divine. So thank you for allowing me to share. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please allow others to share their experience this morning. And I'll now take a list of people who'd like to share. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Gotcha, Bonnie B.
Wendy B. from Arizona.
And Wendy B. B is in
Amanda A., California.
Okay. Was that Amanda A.?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And who else would like to share? We can take a few more names.
Danielle J.
All right, I've got you, Danielle J.
Rocio C., California.
Rocio, was that a C, Rocio?
Yes, California.
Gotcha, okay. I have got Bonnie B., Wendy B., Amanda A., Danielle J., and Rocio C., and please make sure to remind us where you're calling from, and we'll go ahead and get started with Bonnie B., followed by Wendy B.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. I'm starting my timer, and thank you, Lois, for that beautiful lead. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Cold Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God today. This is, it's so interesting because I just think back on my journey, and this would have been a paragraph that I would have just been silent on. It was like, I ain't touching any of the stuff on sex. I knew what I did. I know what my past looks like, right? And so I ain't touching any of this. But I run toward these now because this is my reality. God alone gets to judge. God alone gets to judge. So when I sponsor people and they say, what's my abstinent list? I'll say, I don't know, but God knows. So if you sit down with God and you ask him, just you and God, to show you everything you've ever binged on, everything you're negotiating over, all the question marks, he's going to show you. And then it's between you and him. And this is how I look at this paragraph now. We're given some great parameters, the paragraph before, right? I mean, was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I inconsiderate? Do I hurt people? These are the questions I ask, right? When I sit down with God and look at like my sex ideal, right? Or my sex conduct. And when I have someone else that I sponsor, again, I don't get to weigh in. I will just take their hand and put it back into the hand of God and say, ask God. Because when the food is down for me,
the gateway is open, and I can hear God. I can hear the Spirit. It's very clear to me, and it's a still small voice. It's a check on the inside. It's that question mark, and then it becomes my walk with God, and then it becomes everyone else's walk with God. So I don't have to even like weigh in on these things. I get to release them back to God, which is so cool. Because for me, it was like, well, what do I say? And what if I don't say it right? And I don't have to. I can just defer back to God. And we have the parameters. We got great parameters. The two paragraphs above that. We can ask those questions. And just based upon those questions, God's going to check us on the inside. At least that's what he has done for me. And I have made a lot of adjustments. And I'm just so grateful because those adjustments in the past would have been filled with shame and guilt and all this other stuff that I know doesn't come from my God. But now it's that still small voice. And so it's his loving hand guiding me towards something that's going to be more desirable for sure for me and then ultimately for anyone else that, I mean, obviously my husband. So anyhow, I love this paragraph. And there was a season where I didn't. And so thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I hope you guys have a blessed day. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. All right. Next up, Wendy B., followed by Amanda A.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And this paragraph speaks to me about the hazards of, you know, comparing ourselves with others, you know, comparing our recovery, our food plan, our marriages, our relationships, you know, wanting them to look like someone else's. When God created us as individuals, you know, he doesn't want us to be clones of each other. God wants to be the one, you know, to direct each of our paths, you know, and guide us to his plan for each of our lives. And, you know, it says God alone can judge our sex situations. And I see that as God judging all my situations, you know, my food, my program, my job, my family relationships. You know, he's the one calling the shots. And it says some people are fanatical and others are loose. So I see that as a caution to be discerning, you know, on who you seek advice and counsel from. You know, look to see if they're balanced, you know, in their approach to life, if they have emotional maturity and the ability to be neutral in situations and not overreacting. And, you know, it says, you know, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. And I've heard that when it's hysterical, you know, when we're overreacting to a situation, it's usually historical, you know, something that's triggered from our childhoods and something, you know, that's surfacing to be examined, you know, and brought to the light to bring healing. And so if someone else is overreacting, then they aren't the one I want to get advice or direction from. You know, I want someone who has already dealt with their childhood issues on this subject, you know, so they can be neutral and detached and not prejudiced and critical and judgmental. And I see it as being all about emotional sobriety. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up, we've got Amanda A. followed by Danielle J.
Hi, everyone. This is Amanda A. from California. And what a gift for me to log on this morning and hear this paragraph. This is exactly what I needed to hear. It's so such a beautiful reminder that bringing God into everything that we do and it's so wonderful. And as I'm going through, I finished my steps with OA and I'm recovered and helping to spread this message. But as I continue to go through my 10th steps and inventories in other programs, I've noticed that a lot of self-judgment has come up. And now that the food is quiet, other stuff starts to be a little bit noisier. And this is such a beautiful paragraph to remind me that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or says or how anyone else sees me, but it's about my connection with my higher power and continuing to build that. And that's what's going to, that in the end, that is what is going to continue to bring me abstinence and joy and everything that I need in this life. And this is just such a wonderful reminder. And this is God's way of talking through, you know, talking to me about this, and just one of the wonderful gifts of the program. And I wanted to share that, and I won't take too much time, but with that, I will go ahead and pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Amanda A. Amanda A. from California. And next, Danielle J., followed by Rocio C.
Hi, good morning. Danielle J. from Washington State. Thank you so much for your service and for the opening share and other shares. So this paragraph this part of the book for me is so freeing. And this paragraph, it had described me. The first therapist that I went to for this issue seriously had, you know, I was two different people. And she talked about the Gestalt method, you know, which is integrating the two. And so that's what I was. I was two different people, the two people that I had been raised by, my mother and my grandmother. They were two totally different people. And so that's what I was. And, you know, I grew up in a really goofy way that way. We had a dog, and he was very afraid of people. So he would just go as far on the leash as he could from other people, but yet he would follow them afterwards because he was very curious. And so that's who I was. When I was in high school, I was almost like a stalker. You know, I would follow boys around, and once I got in this really embarrassing situation, but yet I didn't go on dates. And so I was just at once very afraid and obviously, you know, in sort of a normal way. And even, you know, I've been married since September 95, and there have been a lot of issues there too. I've been in and out of programs for this, and with varying degrees of success. It you know, it's been kind of difficult and scary. And for me, it hasn't been a one and done. It's been an overtime. And the more I mature, and the more my husband and I both mature, the more these things sort of get ironed out. And my fourth step had some really difficult things on it, you know, things that had mostly gone inside my mind. And I have to say, the one that was very difficult to let go of, I didn't let go of at first. That took me a while to be able to tell my sponsor. And once I did, it was the secret that I wouldn't tell, you know, that one of the impediments. So anyway, as I did that, it was very freeing, was of course scary. However, of course, you know, letting those things out into the open is, you know, obviously the key to the success. So anyway, it's obviously a work in progress. I'm a work in progress, but I so appreciate the topic and the shares and the transparency as I pray for and somebody had wanted to talk about being different, and I would look at movies, and I wanted so much to be a cucumber, and I was a pickle, and
gentle
all
reminder.
I wanted was to be a thank you to be a cucumber. So thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Danielle J. And then we're going to take Rocio C, and then we'll take another lineup. Rocio?
Hi. Good morning. This is Rocio C., California, compulsive overeater. I really love this paragraph. God alone can judge our sex situation. A couple of days back, I received unsolicited advice, hysterical advice, where I was judged for not being in a relationship for a couple of years now, and I was labeled as, this is not normal. And I'm not going to lie, I lost my emotional sobriety for a moment, and that spiraled me into going on these apps and trying to put myself out there. But where was God during this moment? being a newcomer here, this to me is very illustrating on how all the answers to my problems, to my issues, are in the book. And here is the answer. God alone can judge our sex situation. No one else can judge my situation. I needed to go through a purification process after being in a very toxic relationship for many years because I had no free will. I really had no free will. I collapsed into my mother's patterns, my grandmother's pattern, and I went for the bad boy. And now, as a newcomer working the steps, I get to craft my own ideal of what that means for me to be in a healthy sexual relationship with someone and not go by my mother's patterns, society's patterns, because if that were the case, I'd be out there just going against my own ideal, which is in progress. So it's okay it to be not normal. It's okay to create some space through meetings, through reading the literature, through calling people, through doing the work, through taking action to craft this new ideal. Because I do not want to go back to the old just to be considered normal. I'd rather be alone, be with myself, be with God, and enlarge my spiritual life than to go back with what I thought it was normal. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, COC from California. And before I take the next line up, I want to remind everyone where we are in the book. We're on page, bottom of page 69, that last paragraph that begins with God alone can judge our sex situation, finishing with we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. And who would like to share on that paragraph? Quiet group this morning. Who would like to share? We'd love to hear your experience, strength, and hope. Can I be heard?
Kristen Washington.
Perfect. Oh, can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
It's Chris, S as in Sam, in Washington.
Okay, I've got Chris S. in Washington.
Sophia Elizabeth, California.
One more time.
Sophia M. in California.
Sophia M. in California.
Jody E. California.
Hi.
Jennifer A. in California.
And I've got Jennifer A. in California.
Lorraine W., Massachusetts.
Lorraine W. in Massachusetts.
Jordan L.
Got Jordan L. Colorado, I believe. I think we'll go ahead and pause there unless there's anyone real quick who wants to get into this lineup. Okay. I've got Chris S., Sophia M., Jody E., Jennifer A., Laureen W., and Jordan L. And we'll go ahead and start with Chris S., followed by Sophia M.
Good morning. This is Chris S., and good to be here with you. I've never given much thought to this paragraph, so thank you for the person who did the lead, and thank you for those who have shared. You know, in this healing about our sexual conduct and our sexual choices in the people we are with, in my case, the men who I've been with, it takes time to heal. And I have to give myself that time to heal, not only in those situations, but in all the situations of my life. And So I'm grateful for having the women sponsors, gifted, talented women sponsors in my life who have, you know, have shown me a new way and are showing me a new way. And I've just had to give it over, that part of my life, to God and ask God to heal in me what needs to be healed. And, you know, I haven't been in a relationship for years. And yes, I do miss that. And I ask God, you know, give me a relationship. And he keeps telling me I'm not ready. I'm not ready. So, you know, I'm just growing up. I'm old and I'm growing up. And I'm just thankful for what I have and where I've been and where I'm going. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chris S. And we've got Sophia M. followed by Jody E.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My name is Sophia, and I am in California, compulsive eater, bulimic. And can you just please remind me what page that paragraph was on, if you don't mind?
Sure. It started on the bottom of page 69, got along.
Okay, thank you. Yes, yeah. No, I just wanted to, because I heard this.
Sure.
I mean, this is just, I mean, I don't know if I want to go as far as to say it's probably one of the most, maybe the biggest, most profound parts of my obsession, you know, my insanity and the way that I behave and have built this relationship with food in order to fill that void and that craving, you know, that insatiable appetite. I mean, I'm an addict in every sense of the word, and food being one of the addictions, my main addiction. And it's just so profound when you can really hear something that, even though you've read it, but sometimes you hear it coming out of somebody else. I mean, you ladies, by the way, thank you so much for your service and for having me here. What everybody's saying right now is just really meaningful. And it's incredibly interesting because, I mean, I've been on my own without a real substantial, I mean, a million relationships under the sun, but all shapes and sizes, colors and forms, and but really, really on my own for about 13 years. And that's a really long time to be independent without partnership, especially the fact that that was mainly throughout my 20s and now in my 30s. And I just know that God's preparing me, you know, and the fact that I get to build my relationship with God, the fact that I get to fill this void, those cravings, those desires, the insatiable appetite, as I put it, because that's what I suffer from, an insatiable appetite that can never be fed on my own, and looking and going towards anything that I like to get my hands on will never be enough of it. And to be in real communion and relationship and that kind of a sacred partnership with you and your higher power, first and foremost, above and beyond, before anything, is what I now, that's the gift I get. That's the gift that I get through abstinence, and that's the gift that I get to learn through sobriety in so many sorts. And it's just, the abstinence is just, you know, this, I don't mean to crosstalk, but somebody said something so beautiful. When you put the food down, you can hear God. And it's so true. And so with that, I'll pass. I just wanted to share that and say thank you so much for your service.
Oh, thank you so much, Sophia M. from California. Next up, Jody E. and then Jennifer A., both ladies from California.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Yeah, so this is a difficult subject to talk about on, you know, such a big phone call, but there are some guiding principles here that I'm grateful to have. God alone can judge me and my sex situation. It's so easy to go into shame, terrible shame, over some of my conduct in the years past. But God alone can judge me. And that is comforting because I believe God is a benevolent force and a loving creator. And some people are fanatical about sex and some are very loose. I avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Yeah, I avoid that. I avoid hysterical anything. Anything that's extreme. There are people out there who would condemn me for my behavior in the past. And there are people who would applaud me. And I don't need either one of those. I need something in the middle. Something forgiving, understanding, compassionate, and but also at the same time grounding and encouraging. I can do better. I can do better with my higher power's help. And I am doing better. And I trust and rely on my higher power to show me the way. If there is a way forward for me with another partner one day, but I hope there is. I trust that my work in these 12 steps and my abstinence will reveal, more will be revealed. Food has always been my number one, was always my number one lover. Food. That's what I really wanted. I wanted attention, I wanted affection, but not necessarily sex. So it's all very interesting, and there is a program along this line too. There's a few of them probably. But anyway, this is good information, and with that I pass.
Well, thank you, Jody E. Next up, Jennifer A., followed by Lorene W.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. Good morning. Hi, everybody. This is Jennifer A., and I'm in Northern California, Santa Clara, California. And I was just so moved to talk today because, you know, I am totally open to talking about this topic, and I come from another program, and it's not something that is spoken about a lot. And I find that even in the circle of people I'm with, I'm the one that's okay and open talking about this in terms of identifying myself as a human being, a sexual human being. In any case, what came up for me around this is, you know, yes, I have a past, and through working the steps and being in this program as well as another program, I've realized, you know, that my actions around all of that are just exactly that, my actions, and it's not bad, it's not good, it just is, and the consequences of that for me were that I did miss out on connection because I was trying to connect for the wrong reasons. And what just came up for me is that, you know, through working these steps and being open and honest with myself through my higher power as a sexual human being, I was in a marriage and it was very short. I was single for a very long time, and part of this connection was the sex part. And in the past, it would have kept me in the marriage. And what I learned for myself is that it didn't matter, that connection. It was a good one and it was a spiritual one to a certain extent, but the rest of the relationship wasn't good for me. So I knew that I wasn't going to allow myself to hold on to that piece or hold on to a situation that wasn't good for me just because of that one piece. And I'm very grateful for that because in the past, that wouldn't have mattered. I would have would have stayed that way. I would have kept that because it would have been my part of my connection. But I'm grateful to have that connection with the higher power today, and God is in charge. You know, I'm in my late 50s, and you know, there's this part of me sometimes that says, well, it's all over for you. Well, you know, I just give it up to God, and if it is, it is, and if it's not, it's not. And of course, I hope it's not, but you know, anyway, I just am so grateful to be here and share with all of you. Thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer A. from California. Next, Lorene W. from Massachusetts, and Jordan L. from Colorado.
Hi, this is Lorene W. from south of Boston, Massachusetts. And I want to thank everybody on Team Monday for this new month coming up. This paragraph speaks to me in a couple of ways, and listening to other people share helps to allow me to focus. And first of all, as some other people have said, that food was my lover for a long time, and I would live to, or love to, have everybody go to bed so that I could have my food. You know, and at times I even knew that my husband wanted sex, but I wanted the food first. And I would eat when everybody was in bed. And then by the time I went to bed, he was already asleep. So we didn't have the sex. The other part is, what is my responsibility? I've been in program over 30 years. My husband actually said to me the last 15 to 20 years were the better parts of the marriage. So, and I believe it's because of program that it's been better. Not just because of my other behaviors, but the lack of communication that we had. That I had to learn to communicate what I wanted and also to understand better what he wanted. It has to be a two-way street. It has to be that way. And I had to understand that he didn't always understand what I wanted if I didn't communicate it with him. And I thought in the previous paragraphs talking about the ideal, I thought it was the ideal I had for him. Instead, it was my ideal, what I could be. And it had to teach me through communication and through praying, a lot of praying to God to have me understand better. You know, we had three children. We have two now. One child died of cancer. And yet, I keep learning. And God has allowed me to continue to learn and to appreciate more what I have in a marriage today. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren W., and sorry for your loss. Jordan L., you're up next. And then if we have time, we might be able to take one more share after Jordan.
Hey, thank you for moderating for us this morning. my name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. yeah, there's a lot of compulsive overeaters that are not. And I got to tell you, these days I would much rather be here than anywhere else. even talking about this somewhat difficult subject as folks have mentioned. Real quick, I just wanted to mention this definition of hysterical, right? I had received lots of hysterical advice about this subject, and it's all good, you know. Like a couple of paragraphs said, we all have problems in this area. We all have sex problems. We would hardly be human if we didn't. And that's kind of what we're aiming at here. We're looking for the humility to rejoin the human race, right? and looking for the humility to embrace our humanity, letting go of some of these controlling behaviors that we adopted mostly because we had to. You know, usually people adopt controlling behaviors as survival mechanisms, right? But now we're in a different place and they're really harming us and our relationships. So we're trying to take an honest look at them. We're trying to see what's valuable and what's not, and let go of that stuff that's not valuable, turn it over to a higher power. So when someone gives me hysterical advice, it's usually because they've had a rough past with it, their own history is not they haven't come to terms with their own history around this. Therefore, they're kind of still spreading some of that harm and stuff, right? And so the good news is that I can just avoid that advice, I don't have to listen to it anymore, or take it in or any of that stuff. I can go to others who don't have hysterical advice and listen to those folks instead, And what I have found is that when I received balanced advice around this stuff, that's it's not black and white thinking, it's not right and wrong, it's just very much it's got some balance to it, it's got some nuance and a little bit of back and forth. It's a conversation. It's not mandates or directives or anything like that. That's usually the stuff that is helpful. At the end of the day, this loving God that I've adopted is the final judge, and God's got nothing but love for me. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. That's what I got.
Well, thank you so much, Jordan. Now we can take one more two-minute share. Who would like to close us out with a two-minute share?
Hi, Rella from Brooklyn.
Who was that first person?
Rella from Brooklyn.
Okay, Rella, you've got a minute and a half.
Okay. Hi, Rella from Brooklyn, slowly recovering, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to say this topic is difficult. I had shared a while back last week on this topic. There was a lot of shame. There was a lot of really not good messages about sex and immature, somewhat obscene, messages that I got growing up. And then a marriage to an emotionally distant person, cemented other ideas for me. And I've just withdrawn. And I know that bringing my higher power, and that's what I'm so grateful for the share, is that developing a better relationship with myself, with my higher power, are two of the keys to, God willing, I don't know if I'll have a long-term relationship with someone, but those are setting me on a much better path and giving me a much healthier way of thinking. And grateful for this program, grateful for all of your shares, grateful for the wisdom that I'm hearing, that I'm learning, and for healing to be possible. So that's what I've got. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much for closing us out, Rella. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Irene M., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until death.